Wasn't that a great meal?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
We are blessed.
You think we're going to eat in heaven? B.R. Lakin said, if we're not going to eat in heaven, I don't want to go. We're going to have what we need, and the Lord's going to take care of all of it, for sure. But it's been a privilege for me to be here today, and at my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. But I was, you're about the easiest group of folk I've ever preached to. At least your pastor has you trained well. You laugh at my jokes. That's good. But I really want you to get something more than that, of course. But I... you got that one. I would try to keep my eyes on that guy. I hear you.
He used to pastor the church.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, bless your heart. I knew I liked that brother for some reason.
Pastor Wayne used to pastor. We've got two former pastors right here.
Oh, great.
Pastor Wayne right in front.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll try to be on my good behavior then. Isn't it great that Christian folk could have fun?
Yes.
I mean, not as a world, but it's fun. I've often said, or not often, but more recently I've said this after my wife went to heaven. If everybody had as much fun in their married life and ministry as we had, nobody ever get a divorce. I mean, we just had so much fun together. We really did. Everything we did was a team effort. And like Maranatha Baptist Church, I never say I planted Maranatha Baptist Church. My wife and I did. I didn't. It was a team effort. And without her, much would not have been accomplished, for sure. But I did retire in 08 from pastoring the church after pastoring there 39 years, having pastored for 45 years. And recently I was asked if I would consider, where I was doing pulpit supply. In fact, I was asked this, and some folk would know that I filled in many times at Berean, and I was asked that over there. And I didn't really tell them this, but anyway, somebody asked me about if I would consider pastoring their church. And I said, no, I can't do that. My parents won't let me. Your parents, are they alive? No. And they won't let you pastor? No. What are you talking about? My parents won't allow me to pastor your church. I'm talking about Mother Nature and Father Time. They will not let me pastor. A wife looked in the mirror. And as they were standing in their bathroom, and they're both the husband and wife looking in the mirror, as many times you're wont to do, and the wife said out loud, I'm so fat, I'm so wrinkled, I'm so ugly. Honey, give me a compliment to make me feel better. He said, your eyesight's perfect. Amen. My wife and I came in from a weekend trip. Many times we had a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday meeting. We call them couples advance. And we did that for a number of years and had a great time doing that. And we came in after going several miles, and I preached several times over the weekend, and she taught a couple of classes. And we got up on Tuesday morning after driving in on Monday, and she said, honey, what are you going to do today? I said, and I preached 8 times over the weekend. I drove 705 miles, and I'm not going to do anything today. Nothing. She said, that's cool. So we got up on Wednesday then, and she said, honey, what are you going to do today? I said, nothing. She said, you did that yesterday. I said, no, but it didn't finish. Amen. So I want to finish. And I think that's enough of that. I got to tell one more. This is true. My great grandson called me on one of my earlier birthdays, and said, "Happy birthday, Granddaddy." I said, "Well, thank you, son. I appreciate you calling." He asked me how old I was. And at the time, it's been several years ago, as I said, it's what I got in my notes, so I'm going to give it like that. At the time, I said, "Son, I'm 75. Everything was silent for a minute, and then he said, "Wait a minute," and he said, "Granddaddy, did you start at one?" Now, that actually happened. If it's not, it should have, because that's a good story right there. What did I do with my water? Kimberly, I appreciate that, since you're younger than I am, that you bring me some water. If I would fall on down the steps, you'd never forgive me. All right. You know, when you get my age, Pastor, you'll learn this. You can get by with stuff that you couldn't do a few years ago. All right. We want you to open the Word of God to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please. The book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're reading some verses there, and verses that you could probably say, a couple of them anyway, the ones we had this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 17 and 18. I'm just going to read those verses again. And we begin with verse 16 in these 22 military-like commands. We take these three. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I sure want to thank you this afternoon that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And it's been good really to just to be with God's people and the common bond that we have and the commonality that we have in Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ, and I thank you for that, we're new creatures and old things are passing away, all things are becoming new. We thank you for your help and blessing and direction. Now, Lord, bless us. We continue the message and come to the close of the service today. We thank you for this homecoming Sunday. We appreciate it so much and appreciate these folk and the fine meal we had and the fellowship we'll continue to have for briefly after this service. And Lord, I would pray again that the Spirit of the Lord God would be upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. I pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I'm not going to rehearse, but I did give verse 16 as my first point, which was rejoice evermore. Can we do that?
Yes.
I mean, that'll change your life. I am very serious. You know, some people act like they've been weaned on dill pickle juice or something, you know, and eat oats out of a gas pipe or whatever. I mean, just they're very pitiful. They can't really rejoice and have a good time. And I mean, you know, life is serious. But this Bible does tell us to be joyful, to be cheerful. And we have something to be cheerful about. Don't be like the fellow said, "Cheer up." Sure enough, I did. I cheered up. Now, see, I messed that one up. Cheer up. Things could be worse. That's what it was. Cheer up. Things could be worse. They said, I cheered up. And sure enough, they got worse. But see, I just forgot that one. But then it says not only to rejoice evermore, but it says to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. Boy, we could all move up on that, could we not? I've had a wonderful time in my life, and especially in latter years, I've had a wonderful time just praying for folk. And I'm not trying to be pious, but I have a list of preachers that I pray for regularly. That list has got bigger and bigger and bigger as they're my friends. I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty hard to criticize a guy when you're praying for him. I mean, you pray the Lord would help him. You pray the Lord help you, but you're praying for this other person. And that's been a blessing to me. And I rejoice when a pastor has a good day, a good meeting, somebody gets saved. And I felt that way when I was a pastor. I'm not in competition with him. I rejoice with him. And we're laborers together with God, God's husbandry, God's building. And so in everything, give give thanks. We have so much to thank the Lord for, or to rejoice. And then come to verse 18. I'm sorry, I'm trying to hurry. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks is much more difficult than rejoicing. It's much more difficult than praying. Why is that? Well, rejoicing and praying have to do with our time. Rejoice when? Evermore. Pray when? Without ceasing. So rejoicing and praying has to do with our time. But notice verse 18 again. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. That has to do with our circumstances. In everything give thanks. Several years ago, I was preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. I had not come to these verses that I've just read to you today. And it was May the 23rd, 2002. I came in from visiting the hospital. Back then, Pastor, I don't do it now. I haven't done it in latter years. I would wear even sport clothes to the hospital. Back then, I just thought you had to, you know, I was trained under Dr. Robertson. I just thought you had to wear a suit everywhere, you know. And I go to the hospital and wear a suit, and I think he's slapping his, but I know I just got in the hospital making visits, and my wife was cooking supper or doing something in the kitchen. I sit down in the family room, and the phone rang. It was that call you never want to get. And that call told us that Kevin's brother named Kemp was accidentally shot by his son, Timmy, and that Kemp went to be with the Lord. He was dead. It was an accident. It was ruled an accident. It was one of those, it was an accident. And the judges had to rule on that. Now, Kemp at the time was pastor of Harmony Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's home with the Lord. He's home with the Lord. But on Sunday morning, I was preaching through this book. As I said, I did not come to these verses until after that. I spent 17 weeks, I think it was more than that. I think it's 20 weeks on these five chapters. And I love doing that. And you know, I'm glad that I hadn't tried to just preach that even before that happened to our son. Because I will tell you this, and not only from these verses, from other places in the Bible, after preaching for many years, let's see, about 68 years or whatever it is, I want to tell you something. There's many parts of this Bible that's easier to preach than it is to live. And when I'm in the pulpit and I'm challenging people to live this particular way, I've got a finger pointing at you, teacher on the back row. Eyeball man, I got a finger pointing at you. Preacher, I got a finger pointing at you. But guess what? When I'm doing that, I've got three pointing back here at me. And I need it. I need it. And I'm not only want to preach it, I'm going to live it. And again, it's harder sometimes to live these verses than it is to preach them. But I'm glad that we have a church that loved me and helped me a great deal during that time. I want to say this, that my wife and I, because of our commitment to the Lord and our understanding of the Bible, we would eventually got through this, what we thought was a tragedy at the time. And I'm talking about Kimberly's brother. That he's with the Lord. And he was used of God. He was 39, is that right? 39 years of age. And we would have gotten through that. But we had some people in our church, and especially one of our men, one of our deacons, they said, "Preacher, we want to send you to a place called Moorhead Manor in New Concord, Ohio. And a man there named Jim Benny will be your counselor, and the church is going to pay for this, and we want you to go up there." And didn't know a thing about it. I was afraid where they were going to send me. Somebody going to teach me to be a modernist or something, you know. So I got online and checked it out, and I found out that Agnes Moorhead had owned this house. You ever heard of Agnes Moorhead? Bewitched. She was a witch, and this was her house, and she willed that to Bob Jones University, and Bob Jones University used that place as a counseling place for ministry people that had problems and burdens and so forth, and that they needed some extra help and counseling. And a man by the name of Jim Benny was doing that part of the ministry at the Moorhead Manor, Christian Counseling Ministry. And they sent us there. And my, what a blessing that was. That was a great, great help. The Lord just met a need at that particular time. And I thank God, and I'll come back to that in just a few moments. But, you know, a child of God, we are not exempt from being involved in the hurts of life, are we? We really aren't. We're not exempt from being involved in many hurts in life. But, you know, those of us that are saved, the surrender to the will of God and to His will for our lives is of utmost importance. At times, the Lord might send us into a storm. Who would question that the Apostle Paul was both saved and surrendered to the will of God? And he testified, "But I have you to know, brethren, and understand that the things that have happened unto me were for the furtherance of the gospel." That word furtherance means it cleared the way for. So what happened? What was it that great and wonderful that happened in the life of the Apostle Paul that cleared the way for? Well, when I thought about that and started reading about the Apostle Paul, I thought, I'm going to find what cleared the way for him. And so I was reading along in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 24, and it says this: "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Twice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I spend in the deep, in journeys often, in perils often, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings, often in hunger and thirst and fastings, often cold and naked. And besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." What? These things cleared the way for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, God's ways are not, our ways aren't necessarily God's ways. And we need to be conformed unto His image. And thank God, the Apostle Paul experienced many hurts, did he not? Sure he did. But he accepted by faith that these things were for the glory of God. Watch it now. Therefore, they were for Paul's good. Now, what good thing is the Lord going to bring out of the fact that our son at 39 years of age, pastor in Harmony Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, what good thing is God going to bring out of that? I want to confess to you today that I don't know. But I also want to say you don't have to know. The Christian life is not by faith, it's not by feeling, it's by faith. It's by faith in the Lord. And if it's for God's glory, the things that have fallen are for the glory of God. If it's for God's glory, it's for my good. Somebody said, "Well, Lord, preacher, I just don't understand that." Well, welcome to the club. God never makes a mistake. The Apostle Paul gave thanks in all the circumstances of life because, again, what happened to him was for God's glory, and so it's for His good. Romans 8:28, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate," listen to it now, "to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Brother Jim Benny at Moorhead Manor, New Concord, Ohio, sat at his desk as we were there, and we were in his office daily. We had to go through exercises of reading some books, and we would walk down to the old Presbyterian church, Agnes Moorhead, where she went to church and where supposedly she was saved and so forth. And it was a wonderful time, but we met with him every day. And this particular day, early on, we sat across the desk from him, from Brother Jim Benny, and he looked at us and he pointed his finger to me and looked at me in the eyes and he said, "Can you thank God for Kim's death?" I said, "No." It didn't take me long to do that. He turned to my wife and he looked her in the eye and he said, "Faith, can you thank God for Kim's death?" And she very quickly said what I said in about the strong arms matters. I said, no. I mean, we weren't there to act spiritual. We weren't there for a charade. We weren't there for something make-believe or trying to impress anybody. Honesty was very, very important. No, I couldn't thank God for Kim's death. And that was our quick reply. Part of our therapy there was doing this. We were reading a book by Jerry Bridges. And that book, we read it that week. That was our assignment, to read that book, so many pages, and read that book that week. And the name of the book, Trust in God Even When Life Hurts. Wonderful book. Trust in God Even When Life Hurts. And he said in that book, among other things, of course, God is in control of our lives as believers. He does indeed love us, and that he works out all the circumstances of our life for his ultimate good. A quote from that book. God is never surprised, never caught off guard, never frustrated by unexpected developments. And God does as he pleases, and that which pleases him is always for his glory. Therefore, it is for our good. And that's the kind of diet we receive all week. Now, wait a minute. I want to say it again. We had made a commitment to Jesus Christ when we were kids. I was a smart guy. I figured out I want to marry that girl. And when she got out of the sophomore class, I said sophomore in high school, sophomore class, I asked her to marry me. Now I wouldn't put up with any of my kids getting engaged that early. I mean, it's just, that's out of the question. But we had made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I'd already graduated from high school, and I went to Tennessee Temple, and she followed after that. But maybe you've asked, can I trust God that this is for his glory and it's for my good? Well, preacher, I just don't see it. Well, you don't see it because it's by faith. The just shall what? Live by faith. We tenaciously stand for the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. But wait a minute, we live by faith also. We live by faith. And that's how it could be that in everything give thanks. All the circumstances of life. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, what's the next couple of words? Not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Can you trust God who wrote verse 18? In everything give thanks. You know, it's impossible for that command to be any more explicit than that. Read it with that in mind and you'll see what I mean. It's a direct command. And learning to trust God as a Christian is a day by day process. You can trust God even when you don't see it. That's what the Christian life is. It's by faith again. And what's God going to bring about for his glory and our good and the homeborn of our son? I don't know. And I don't know that necessarily about my wife who went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. I'm not concentrating on that. I'm not that much really concerned about it. It's in the hands of God. I need to learn to trust God. I heard an advertisement. You're in good hands with who? Allstate. No. You're in good hands spiritually with Almighty. You're in good hands with Almighty, and we're in his hands. That's a pretty safe place to be, is it not? God's taking care of us. Jim Biddy asked us this. He said, has there been a time in your life? He looked at me and said this. Has there been a time in your life when it seemed to be a tragedy, what you were going through, but ultimately you realized it was for our good and God's glory? Think about if there's been a time like that. And I thought of March 1952, before most of you discovered America. And I thought of the fact that I had a brother that I was really so proud of and in love with. And he was almost 3 years old. He was the cutest thing. And I'm a teenager, okay? I didn't have any brothers. I had to put up with two sisters. I didn't have any brothers. But mother and dad started another family. Remember, changed life, baby or something. I don't know, anyway, they had a son. And, excuse me. And he got sick. My little brother that was almost 3 years old, he got sick. Well, back then you called the doctor. Like you were talking about people being born at home. Well, you know, that's what you did back then. But they called a doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what's wrong with him. It's serious. He's jaundiced. He had turned yellow. Said to get him to the hospital. We live about 40 miles from Charleston in Boone County, up in Whitesville, West Virginia. And they took him down there, and they left me off. My grandmother's called back in about 2 hours. It's an hour drive from Charleston. Called back in about 2 hours and said, David's dead. That's what I thought about when Jim Benny asked me, listen to me, when he asked me, can you think of anything that at the time seemed like a tragedy, but ultimately you realize this was for God's glory. Let me tell you how that was for God's glory. It'll not always be that way. Sometimes you substance of things, hope over the evidence of things not seen. You live by faith whether you see it or not. That's where faith comes in. But he was asking that question. I thought of that, just what I just told you. And here's what happened from that. And I'm not exaggerating at all. Because I've asked people that were there in that day to confirm even my numbers about it, because people have heard the story so much. I saw my dad do something. He was a nominal Christian, didn't go to church regularly, and wasn't involved. He was more involved in the Masonic Lodge and other things of that could have some good things, I guess, and as far as morally what they would do, and some bad things, I suppose, whatever. I'm not justifying that, or I'm not condemning it necessarily. But he was so involved in things like that, and he didn't have time for God, didn't have time for church. And his little son dying, it could have made him bitter and turned him away, but he went to church on Sunday. And I saw my dad walk forward in the First Baptist Church of Whitesville after this pastor had preached his son's funeral. I saw my dad walk forward, and he told me later what he said. I didn't walk forward with him at that time, but he told me what he told the preacher, and this is what he told the preacher. He said, "Preacher, I've been a fool." Hey, God got his attention. God would do no unloving thing to any of his children. God got his attention. My dad could have been bitter and turned away, but he said, "Preacher, I've been a fool. I want to do something for God. I want my life to count for God. I want to do something for God." He saw, I guess, the brevity of life or whatever God is dealing with his heart. "Preacher, is there anything I could do?" Ultimately, the pastor said, "Well, we've got a youth group and just struggling. Only have just a handful of kids that come to the youth meeting." He said, "I would like for you to take over the young people." Now, pastor, that's unwise for a man that's just rededicated his life to God. But the Lord used that. I mean, I was trained not to do it that way, but I liked the way it was done anyway. Because here's what happened. My sister and I were there the first night of the youth meeting. My dad said, "Yeah, I'll do that, but we just don't have the meeting on Sunday night with the young people." That's what most people did back in those days. Before the evening service, you'd meet with the young people and have a young people's meeting. Came from the old BYF or whatever it was. And my dad said, "Give me a special night." I said, "I want a night of the week." Well, as the week goes on, things get intensified. Football, Friday night, and all that business. And Dad said, "No, I want Monday night for the young people." So we had started the meeting on Monday night. My sister and I, Odessa, was there. And about four other young people. I think there was six or seven, something like that. Now, I'm going to make this story a lot shorter than what I could make it. If you fast forward from there about 2 years, on a Monday night, if you went by Whitesville, West Virginia, the First Baptist Church, it wasn't unusual to find 100 young people gathered in an auditorium about like this. I mean, it looked like Sunday morning. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Well, from that youth group, I went to Tennessee Temple because God had called me to preach. So I went to Tennessee Temple. And then some others in the youth group, I was kind of the older one in the youth group, one of the older ones. And in 2 years, my sister was there, Odessa, her friend, Faith, the lady I ultimately married, she was there. And there was a total of 12 others besides myself at one time that went down to Tennessee Temple. And we had a couple of people, Bob Jones, and this is from a church in Boone County. And it was absolutely amazing. And I was telling Jim Benny this story, but so many preachers. Ron White is one of them, and I can name others. I mean, they're scattered now over the country and over the world, and also many of them in heaven. Now, as you think about that, was that a tragedy that my little brother died? Well, let me tell you this. It was for God's glory. And it was even for our good. We just accept that. But there's evidence. Sometimes you will not see the evidence that clear, but just you trust it anyway. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hey, God's not in the slaying business. He's in the loving business. He's in the kindness business. And we could trust in our Lord. I don't know what the Lord's going to bring out. You know, those of us who are saved, we've got a map. We've got a road map. Here it is right here. The Sunday school teacher was teaching this morning. Here it is. This is the book you should be in every day, that I should be in every day. It is the Word of God. God will do no unloving thing to any of His children. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John chapter 21, verse 19. I need to hurry. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. Follow me. When a child of God dies, it's for God's glory and our home going. These three military-like commands: rejoice, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. That's what believers are to do. That's part of the commands we have from Scripture. Let's bow in prayer, our heads bowed as we look to our Lord in prayer. Thank you for this good day, Lord, we've had. This Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day. Thank you that our Savior forevermore is alive, and we'll live with Him one day forever. Thank you, Lord, and praise your name. And I pray that you'd continue to bless this church and this ministry. Have your way as we go from this place today, and help us to be faithful to you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together, would there please, in closing. I think it's 485. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Dr. Bartlett,
for being with us today. Thank you so much. Let's stand together, please. Have thine own way. May that be our heart's cry this week. 485, just a couple of stanzas. If you need to come forward, that's certainly available to you. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and the second as the last. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence lay I bow. Thank you, Dr. Bartlett, for the wonderful reminders for us to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Let's pray together in closing. George Gullen, would you mind asking the Lord's blessing as we depart today, please, sir? Yes. Amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful week this week. We'll see you on Wednesday at 7, Lord willing. Wednesday at 7.